Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, everybody's standing. I don't know that you heard me, but somebody on the front probably did, and they stood up. The rest of you stood up. That's good. A lot has been said about the weather. A lot of people have blamed all of this on global warming. Roy made mention of it. And several people in the scientific field have said that the reason why global warming is responsible is because that the Arctic vortex has dropped down and causing cold weather here. Now, we have set up we have plans to have a board meeting tomorrow night. Now, if the forecast continues like it is, there will be a wind chill warning starting at 9 p.m. Now, our board meeting usually starts at 7, lasts about 9, but we do have, like Jessica lives in Mount Horeb, and we have Brother Jeff Merkus that lives Brooklyn. I was about to say Belleville, but Brooklyn. And several people in the outlying areas, and by the time you get home, the wind chill could be minus 45 or so. So we will let you know, and when next Wednesday we'll try to have the materials for you and give them to you, and we will set another date for the board meeting. So we just want to use as much wisdom as necessary to keep everybody safe. Now, I know a lot of people be traveling, but still, when there's wind chill warning and it gets up to 45 or 50 below, if your car stalled and you couldn't get it started, and somehow your cell phone, you didn't reach somebody, you get cold in a hurry. And it takes a long time to thaw you out once you're dead. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus, would you? Praise God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Do you love him?
Yes.
Praise God. How much do you love him? With all of your heart? With all of your mind? With all of your soul? With all your strength? Isn't that great? Now, I got you to admit that, and that's great, because you need to do that. Now, when you take all of the characteristics of God, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, you take all of them and put them all together, there's one word that describes God in his entirety or totality, and that is holiness. God is holy. All right. So when you say that you love God with all of your mind, your heart, your soul, your strength, with everything I have, if you love God, then you love all of God, so you have to love holiness. Isn't that right? How many of you love holiness? Let me see your hand. Why do some of you who say you love holiness have so many problems concerning holiness? I never told you this is going to be easy this morning. Now, my lesson today is on guarding your attitude. And Pastor Roy set a theme for this month, and that is to put on your war clothes, speaking of the whole armor of God, And so we're going to talk about attitude. See, your attitude determines your thoughts, and yet your thoughts determine your attitude. It's kind of like which comes first. It's hard to determine. But if your attitude's bad, your thoughts are going to be bad. But if your thoughts are bad, your attitude gets worse. So let's just put it in this order. Your attitude determines your thoughts, and your thoughts determine your words, and your words determine your actions. Your actions determine your habits, and your habits determine your destiny. Can you believe it starts out with something as small as an attitude? How many of you sometimes, don't raise your hand now, how many of you sometimes don't have the right attitude? You don't have to raise your hand. Some of you are raising your finger, you know. So let's look at Luke, the 9th chapter, and we want to read verse 51 through 56. Luke 9, verse 51. It came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Now, this was James and John. Peter was the impetuous one that was always wanting fire to fall from heaven. We take James and John. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of attitude ye have. Now, the word attitude is not found in the King James Version of the Bible, but the word spirit is found there. But basically, what he's saying is, you guys have a very bad spirit. Now, it's amazing to me that you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the new birth. Or baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's the new birth. You can be filled with the Spirit, but still act out of character at times. This is the reason why that some people who are not spirit-filled can indeed have a better attitude than some people who are spirit-filled. And I have to admit that I get out of character. I try not to, but I do at times. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them, and they went to another village. You may be seated. I was down with the campus group years ago. Big tall guy came up to me and he began to challenge me. And so he said, I grew up on a farm and I've thrown hay all of my life. Now this is back when I was a little bit smaller than I am. And a whole lot stronger. I had a good back. And he said, guess all you've ever done is go to seminary and stay behind the pulpit and preach. I said, no, it's not that way. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, I grew up on the farm. He said, if you want to prove your manhood, he said, come out to our farm He said, you pitch hay with me all day long. And of course, I was pitching hay and loading wagons and all of this, well, even before he was born. But what he did was he went over there and Well, first he walked out in the middle of the street, and he says, I am an atheist. I don't believe in God. He raised his fist up in the sky, to the sky, and he looked up and he said, you O-S-O-B? He said, if you are God, he said, come strike me dead. Well, my. I guess he was acknowledging that God had the ability to do that. Then he came over and looked at me and said, how come God didn't strike me dead? I said, because he's not in the killing business. He's in the saving business. See, that's what Jesus told those disciples. You want to strike them dead, and I want to save them. And sometimes Christians can become ugly in their spirits. They just can. And sometimes it's hard to determine or understand what our attitude is. Actually, as I stated before, attitude is not found in King James Version, but the word spirit. Let's go to Psalm 51. Let's read 5 through 13. Psalm 51, verse 5 through 13. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You were not born a sinner, but you were born with a propensity for sin. In other words, a leaning toward sin. And Satan has a direct path to you to tempt you, pull you in to sin. Now, the only thing that Satan can do to you without express permission from God, and that is to lie to you. Now, how would temptation and lying be connected? Well, he comes and tells you, hey, you can really, really, really enjoy life if you would just start partying and living it up. After a while, you're down at the county jail, been picked up for cocaine possession, or maybe you hit someone, and now it's alcohol related, and you're up for manslaughter charges because you killed someone. So what in the world? So the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, but I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The devil tells you that living for God and having a good standard of living, being a good Christian, is hard. But the Bible says the way of the transgressor is the hard way. You know it's hard to be a sinner. Do you know that? When Paul talks about repentance, he said, godly sorrow worketh repentance, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Basically, what he was saying is that if you understand that you're wrong, you repent, God will then give you eternal life. But unless you repent, you're going to be crying over a whole lot of things, and there's not going to be any help. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So in Psalm 51, verse 5, he says, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. The hidden part. See, the word of the Lord is quick and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword. piercing even to dividing of sunder of soul and of spirit, to the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents." See, not only can God see your action, He can read your mind. Now, the devil can't read your mind, but God can. Now, the thoughts and the intents. The intent is dealing with what makes you think the way you think. Why do you think that? Or we could say, when we say the intent, the motive. Why are you geared this way? Now, you may say, well, I'm just this way. Well, it probably had something to do with the way you think and the attitude that you have. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. In other words, sin had brought to David such great sorrow. He just let down. He didn't guard himself. He let down. He became involved with Bathsheba. And in turn, he sent her husband out to war. And the Bible says, in the days in which kings went to war, David stayed at home. And we're talking about spiritual warfare. This is the day that we need to put on the whole armor of God. And we need to go to war. Now, Galatians, Paul talks to the church in Galatians, and I'm going to go back over that a little bit later. But he talks about put on the whole armor of God, or those who have been baptized in Jesus' name have put on Christ. So we wear Christ like we wear a garment. Now, I'm going to make a statement that might shock you, but listen to this carefully. I'm just putting it this way so you won't forget it. What do you think would happen if you got up in the morning and decided you didn't want to get dressed and you went to work naked? Now, you think about this now. What kind of reaction would take place in the workforce where you are? Understand what I'm saying now? So he said, now, put on this armor because you're going out into a hostile world. And we wear him. See, all of this armor, it's really putting Christ on. And we wear him. Now, last Sunday, I talked about guarding your revelation and what happens when people lose their revelation. So David is saying here, though, he said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and a new spirit. And when he says a new spirit, he's talking about a new attitude. Give me a different attitude. Every now and then, Sister Grant and I just stop and dealing with some problems of the church and different individuals, we just stop and say, hey, we're going to have to be real positive today. Let's see how many good things we can think of and how many good things we can say. And one thing that we have decided a long time ago, and that is on Sunday, that we will not discuss anything that went wrong at church. Now, that's pretty hard to do sometimes. Every now and then, you know, you'll have some conflict, won't you, with a brother or sister? It's just, ooh, wow. You don't want to admit it, do you? You know, it's just, and you kind of get bent out of shape. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Now, first thing you need to do if you're involved in soul winning is check your attitude every day. Because your attitude has a lot to do with your ability to convince people that Jesus Christ is alive in your life. In other words, if you're acting like the devil, you're not going to convince anybody that Jesus Christ is alive in your life. Well, I got the Holy Ghost. One man told me, he said, he came in my office and nobody here at the church, okay? He came in my office and he had such a bad spirit. I told him, listen, you got a bad spirit. If you don't stop that, I'm going to crawl across this desk and scratch your eyeballs out. Seriously. I just. One man told me, he said, you know, our church, we've got this one couple in our church, and my daughter married their son. And so they came down to my house for Thanksgiving, and he said, you know, we don't pay any attention to football and all of this. We don't have a television. He said, as soon as lunch was over or dinner was over, guess what? He said, I want to go watch the ball game. So he left. He said, I told his mother when I got to church. Now, you may be a good mother, but I tell you what, your son who married my daughter is the sorriest hunk of flesh that I've ever seen. It gets funnier. He said, now, Pastor, he said, it's been a month since I told her that, and she hadn't spoken to me one time, not one time. He said, now, do you call that Christianity? I like to die. Oh, my. We need to start you over in kindergarten, preschool, maybe. So when your revelation departs, as it starts departing, your attitude changes. Attitude is defined as a way of thinking and behaving, whether it be good or bad. But today I'm talking about a good attitude. Good attitude versus bad attitude. Of course, we're talking about good attitudes today. It's how you think or feel about people or things. And you can just express, you know, how you feel about people all the time. I know why some people feel totally obligated to express themselves about how they feel about people. I remember one time someone told me, said, now, like you said, Brother Grant, I said, no, I never said that. I said, you said it. And the man told me, he said, well, I told you and you didn't say anything about it. I said, because I didn't have an opinion about it. He said, everybody has an opinion about everything. I said, no, that's not true. He said, now how can you hear something and not have an opinion about it? I said, because I've developed in my character the ability to not pass judgment on everything I hear. You can do that, you know. But some people feel that they have to have an opinion about everybody and everything. Well, before you can have an opinion about everybody and everything, you first start judging them. You look at everything they do. Oh, I'll tell you, you know, how do you know? Well, it just has to be that way, I know. And you figured out every motive you think of everybody. Not that way at all. Now, this is what Jesus said. Now, when I read this, and I read, you're going to hear a lot of things you've heard before, but I want to reemphasize this. Quite a few of you are new, and you haven't heard some of these things. But Jesus, in his Beatitudes, and when we say Beatitudes, we're talking about attitudes that you should be or become. Now, I'm not going to read the blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are the pure in heart. But I read part of the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, and that's in Matthew 5, verse 38. And ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. In other words, if somebody pokes your eye out, you poke his out. Somebody knocked your tooth out, you knock his out. Behold, I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, what you need to do now, you need to give some careful thought to this. Wisconsin now is a concealed carry state. If you decide to purchase a gun for your protection or for the protection of your family and you want to conceal it, you need to consider where you stand as it relates to the Scripture. In other words, don't do something foolish. You know, Jesus didn't say if somebody smites you on the right cheek, pull out your pistol and blow his brains out. Hey, I didn't say it. Don't feel bad at me. Oh, you don't feel bad at me, do you? That's what he said. And if thou wilt sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Oh, my. Looks like I'm not going to get rich after all. I can't sue him. And whosoever should compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Somebody comes and says, I want you to go with me a mile. Jesus said, why don't you say, is that all you need? Could I go with you further? Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Have trouble with this, do you? Really have trouble with this. You have heard it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Say it with me. Love your enemies. Say it again. Love your enemies. If the IRS is your enemy, love the IRS. Oh, my. Bless them that curse thee. do good to them that hate you. Now, it didn't say feel good about them. It says do good. Oh, my. I think I just need to go sit down. We just need to have a prayer meeting here. I tell you what. I think that Jesus knew the secret for you being happy. Because you don't have to carry all that garbage around. Got to have a forgiving heart. See, what happens sometimes, we fight bitterness with bitterness. But the Bible says that our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty. Now, mighty means spiritual. They're spiritual. So if you fight carnality with carnality, if you fight hate with hate, if you fight envy with envy, if you fight bitterness with bitterness, you're no better off than the person that is hating you. I remember one time I was talking to an individual, and the subject tithing came up. He said, I don't pay tithing. I said, how come? Said that. Because I found out a whole lot of people don't pay tithing. I said, you think they should? Yes, they should. I said, wait a minute. Now you're digging a hole. You can't get out of here. Don't tell me anymore. I'm going to have to help you. So you really think they should? Yep. So if they do wrong, you're going to do wrong until they do right. He said, well, not exactly. He said, I probably will do right first. I said, well, then just keep paying your tithing. Now, you know, isn't that a, you know, some things don't make sense, do they? You know, I just think there's got to be something. There's a loose connection someplace. I've known the people drop out of the church because all those hypocrites over there. So you think that you should go to church? Oh, yeah. Why are you dropping out? Hypocrites. Oh, hypocrites. Gonna be hypocrites in hell? Oh, yeah. Well, wouldn't you rather go to church with a few and go to hell with all of them? There's a loose connection. See, that's what happens when your revelation starts leaving you. And it starts leaving you when your attitude gets turned. Wow. Raise your hand and thank the Lord for His Word. Thank you, God, for Your Word. Thank you, God, for Your Word. Oh, hallelujah. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. So as conclusive evidence that you're filled with the Spirit, there's more to it than just talking in tongues. Watch what he's saying. In other words, is there a likeness in your attitude of God? Is there similarity? Is there a similarity in your relationship with Jesus Christ? For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brother only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? So your attitude's reflected in in how you treat people, what you think about people. People of different races. You know, I grew up in the South and everything was segregated. No one at our church, absolutely no one at our church, I shouldn't say church, at our school, no one was any darker than I am. And I've heard so many things from people in the South. Now, things are changing, thank the Lord. But for the African Americans, they had their own school, they had their own place to live. I just never could understand that growing up. I just couldn't. And I'd hear people speak very derogatorily of people of color, adults and kids alike, and I just couldn't understand it. Now, you think about something then. If you were totally blind and you couldn't see what color a person was, would that change the way you feel about them? Then why should a person be treated any different because their skin's a different color than yours? What do you think about that? It's just amazing how some of these things can get in us, and all of these things create a barrier for us to become or stay, unlike Christ in this area. And yet we get up and we sing, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And when you think of all, then you ask, well, who are you talking about when you say all? Well, everybody that's filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. Did you know that the greatest revival in the world is taking place in Africa among Africans? Now, it's going to be strange, isn't it, for us if we don't have our attitude right toward people of other races when we get to heaven and we're in the minority. We look around and see all of these African people. And we say, hey, where is the white section? And Dolly said, well, what about the Indians? My great-grandmother was full-blooded Cherokee Indian. So I told someone that I was Cherokee Indian, part. And they said, look, the Indians had high level of energy. Before the Spanish people brought the horses over, they actually walked and ran every place they went because they didn't have cars. They didn't have any horses. How come I always see you sitting down? I said, well, it's like this. I traced back in my family tree, and it went all the way back to Sitting Bull. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just trying to help you get over some of your prejudices if you happen to have them, you know. Oh, my. Well, I tell you what, God is good. All the time, yes. So how do you treat people of different educational levels? We do not have in the United Pentecostal Church any requirement for ordination that calls for a degree in theology. We don't. I said, we do not have in the UPC. You heard me. We do not have in the UPC any requirement for ordination, that any regulation that requires you to have a degree in theology. Because some of the best minds that we've ever had in Pentecost have been people who have a degree in theology. They know how to pray. They know how to get a hold of God. Now, we happen to own a school of theology. So we're not against it. But what we're saying is that while we're not against it, we will offer that, and it would probably be a help for you to go if you're considering the ministry. But there are certain circumstances in which you just can't go. But if you know how to read your Bible, you've got a good attitude, you've got a teachable spirit, you listen to your elders, you're respectful to your elders. And while I'm on this, let's talk about, what about respect for elders? What's your attitude toward elders? Wow. What about you young people? What about your attitude toward your parents? When Jesus was 12 years old, he goes with Mary and Joseph and a whole bunch of the relatives, and they go to worship. When they left, Jesus stayed behind. He was in the temple. And they didn't know. There must have been a crowd of people. Oh, he's out there someplace playing. They got down a road one day. And they, supper time, he didn't come to supper. Don't know where he is. Started searching. Took him 3 days to find him. And he was ministering in the temple. And we're talking about attitude toward parents now. 3 days in the temple. Now, the thing about it is, Mary and Joseph went in, and all of the scribes, the scholars, were amazed at his wisdom. He's just a 12-year-old kid. And listen to this. Now, Mary and Joseph went up and said, what are you doing here, son? I'm putting it in my own words. You can check this out in the Bible, though. And Jesus says, well, I am here doing my Father's business. Now, let me ask you this. Do you really believe Jesus was doing his Father's business? Obviously, he was, because there was never anything that came from his lips that was untrue. So he was. You know what Joseph and Mary did? They got him by the hand and they said, come on with us. Don't you try to pull rank on us. God gave you to us. And you come go with us. Now, the amazing thing, the Bible says that Jesus went with them. And then he gained favor with both God and with man. See, Jesus came down to the earth to teach us the proper attitude and action toward his own law. I'm amazed at the number of people that I've talked to about things, and they tell me, oh, but I didn't do this. God told me to stay home and pray. I know we're having a prayer meeting at church. We had one lady one time that if we were praying, she wanted to go pass out tracts. If we were passing out tracts, she wanted to have a picnic. If we were picnicking, she wanted to go have a prayer meeting. See, some people just have an aversion to being told anything. So we're having a church picnic. She comes in, she gets all the tracts. I said, where are you going? She said, oh, I've got such a burden for the lost. She said, I'm going downtown. I'm going to pass out tracts. People are dying, lost without God. I said, put those tracts back. You're going to church picnic with us. She said, oh, Pastor Grant, I can't do that because God told me. I said, sister, put those tracts up. I'll get you off the hook with God. You hear? You come and go. To cooperate, to be a team player. You got to have the right attitude. Now, you may not like this, but you know what? It's going to help you. Because you're going to run across a situation, you're going to think about some of this stuff. Oh my, you know what? I'm just getting started, and my time's up. I think I've spent too much time. I'll tell you, I don't know why I thought of this, but there was a comic strip still in the paper, and this one guy, he was a little bit, he was a little bit slow, but he was a great football player, and they were going to kick him off the football team. So the principal called him in and said, Bull, they called him Bull Bashford. He said, Bull, he said, you got an F in English, you got an F in social studies, you got a D minus in math, and he went down and said, now how do you account for this? He said, an F in English, an F in social studies, an F in foreign language, a D minus in math. He said, oh, I tell you, I spent too much time in math. Oh, my. Oh, wow. Lift your hands. Don't you love Jesus? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, there are certain situations in life you can't do anything about. You might as well just praise God, back your ears and make out like you got good sense and move on. Don't go around with a bad attitude all the time. Guard that attitude. Because if you don't guard your attitude, you'll lose your revelation. Let's just stand right now. I got two pages and I'm not even through with one. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Isn't God good? Oh, He's so good. My Jesus, You're awesome. My Jesus, You're awesome. My Jesus, You're awesome, God. You're awesome, God. You are a great God. You're a great Lord. You're a great Master. You're a great Savior. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Every person here is important to Jesus Christ because you are an integral part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What are you going to sing? What? Okay. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship the Lord again. My Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I've had a lot of back problems, and I'd really like to get down and start jumping and dancing on the floor. Well, I haven't always been able to do that, but I tell you what I can do. I can jump inside of my skin. I can jump inside of my body. You may not know it, but I'm jumping up and down inside. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, let's give the Lord another great big hand. Do you love Him? Do you love your brothers and sisters? Do you have a good attitude in life towards circumstances and situations? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. If you would like to renew your experience in the Lord, or perhaps you've never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, why don't you come and just stand over here on the right? Would you do that? Come on down here. If you have some problems been weighing you down, by the way, problems sometimes can make you have bad attitudes. Why don't you come and just stand right in front of the pulpit? And another thing that can cause you to have bad attitudes is sickness.